though. But anyway, for now, you are listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg. Maseches Brachos says, Amud is Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, a brand new Mishnah, a brand new Perek. So Ketzon Mevarchin is, I guess, I don't know if you call it a famous Perek, but it is. What I was told when I first learned this many years ago is that it's a very, very hard Perek, at least Bi'iyun. I remember there are some complicated sugyos here. But it's so fundamental, and we know a lot of the halakha lamaisa of it. As we read through the Mishnah, you're going to start asking questions of, you know, things that we take for granted because we, you know, have been through, Jewish kindergarten, and so therefore we know the halachas of brachos, but we'll see. This is really where it all comes from, so it's just interesting to note some of those differences. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Ketzon mevarchin al haperos. How do you make a bracha on fruit? Al peros ha'ilan, well, different types of fruit. Right, so there's peros ha'ilan, fruit of the tree. Hu amar borei priya eitz. You say borei priya eitz. Exception chutz min ayayin. The only exception of things that come from the tree that you make that you don't make a ha'eitz on is wine. Sha'al ha'yayin hu amar borei pri hagafen. That's what you say on it. The implication over here, by the way, hold on. What about juice and stuff like that? If you're talking about the liquid that comes out, so does that mean that juice, do you say shahakal or ha'etz? So it's actually a shita, we will discuss at some point, that you say ha'etz on fruit juice, which is fascinating.
That would be the implication of the Mishnah.
Right. That's where we get it from. But we'll see in Lahalacha where we don't hold that way. But it's just interesting to note that. We'll just take a look at this Rashi, because we can't not. That's not the Rashi that we can't not, but it's, I think that's important. That because of the chashivos of wine, they were koveya, a specific bracha for this, by itself, and so too we're going to see with bread. Bread is also going to be exceptional. Continuing in the Mishnah. The al peros ha'aretz, and on fruit of the land, hu omer borei pri ha'adama. Right, borei pri adama. Chutz min hapas, the thing that is the exception is bread. Shal hapas hu omer hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Interesting that we read ra'al ha'irakos. And what about vegetables? So, of course, that's included, but we're probably mentioning it now because of the machlokus that we'll see. Ra'al ha'irakos hu omer borei pri adama, as you expected. Rabbi Huda omer borei minei deshayim. Right, blessed. Right, obviously the assumption is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Borei minei deshayim, the creator of different types of grasses. So you would say different of a bracha on vegetables than other things. What we obviously missed is mezonos, which is a discussion in the Mefarshim. Where did mezonos go or come from, right? Because really, it's not where did it go. This is where you'd expect to see it. So where do we get it from if it doesn't come here? It's not like where did it go. That's assuming that everything that exists about bracha starts in what we learned in kindergarten, and then maybe you could find a mishnah about it later on. No. What we got in kindergarten is based on these mishnahs. This mishnah. Here's the Rashi.
This is where bracha is based on.
Well, we'll see. The Gemara is going to discuss. Maybe it's in the Torah, but. And well, I'm not going to ruin the ending for you. But yeah, this is the earliest source of halacha, meaning your kindergarten teacher got it from Shulchan Aruch or somewhere on the line, and the Shulchan Aruch got it from the Achronim, the Rishonim, and they're going to get it from this Gemara. This is the source for brachos in Torah, at least in Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, this is the Rashi I couldn't not do. Borei minei deshayim lefi sheish bichlal priya adama deshayim v'zrayim. Because there's included in Borei Pri Adama, deshayim, grasses, vizrayim, and seeds, kigon, kitnios, mere days before Pesach, we've already been packing our kitnios away. Rabbi Yehuda by heker bracha lechol min v'min. Rabbi Yehuda requires more specificity. It wants to be more specific and not just, you know, different types of things that grow from the ground, which include deshayim, zrayim, kitnios, but rather he wants to be even more specific. Of each species or subspecies, so that's what he says. Okay, Gemara starts minahan imili. Where do we know this? Hold on. The presumption of the Mishnah is how do you make a bracha implies that we make brachos. Says who? Who says we make brachos? So we don't immediately. The Tana Rabbanan, because we learned in a Braisa, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, sanctify the praises to Hashem. All right, so this is a pasuk. Kodesh Hilulim Lashem is a pasuk in, right? It's in Sefer Vayikra. It's referring to the mitzvah. So there's a mitzvah called Oralor, really an Isser of eating fruit in the first 3 years of the tree. So if you have a fruit tree, you don't eat. Unmuted. Yeah. So the first 3 years of a tree, of a fruit tree, you don't eat its fruit, and then in the fourth year, it's worth revai. It's the fourth year, so that's Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. It's sanctified and it's praises to Hashem. Milamid, it teaches us, Sheteunim bracha lefneim ulachareim. This teaches that you require a bracha before and after. Hilulim, plural, praises. So when you eat this food from the tree, so you need hilulim, a praise before and a praise after. This is a source for brachos. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. From here, Bikiva says, Asher adam sheyitom klum, kodem sheyivarech. It is forbidden for a person to taste anything before he makes a bracha. Okay? So that's the source for brachos from the Torah. So the Gemara asks, V'hai kodesh kilulim, lahachi hudasa. Hold on. We need that word hilulim. And the two things that you learn from hilulim for something. We need that for something else. Right? So, v'hai kodesh hilulim, lahachi hudasa. Haimi ba'ile, chad, right? So, we need one of them, da'amarachmana, achle, v'hadarachila, v'idach. So we need one of them to teach. The Torah teaches us with one. I mean, Hilulim, again, is two Hallels. So one of them is necessary for this teaching of Achle v'hadar Achle. The Idach, and the other one is Dover Haton Shira Ton Chilul. That's something that requires Shira, requires Chilul. V'she'eno Ton Shira Ein Ton Chilul. Whatever doesn't require Shira doesn't require Chilul. So I'm going to have to explain both those. So the first one, it's doing a like phonetic drasha, reading hilulim as chilulim, to make something profane, and that this means that the things that were brought in the revai, these fruits that were brought from the in the fourth year, they weren't regular, they didn't have a regular status. They had to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten there like Maaser Sheni. Right. So in order, but let's say you didn't want to bring the fruits all the way up to Yerushalayim. You didn't want to do that at the time. So what you could do is you could make them profane and exchange them on coins, do a pidyon like you can do with Maaser Sheni. And then you redeem them with the coins and you bring the coins to Yerushalayim and eat that and eat whatever you buy with those coins there. And then you could eat them, the fruits here, wherever you are, not Yerushalayim. So the first Hallel is really, not, we don't read it, Hilulim. Chilulim, and the first one is achle, make it profane, v'hadar achle, and then afterwards you can go and eat it. That's what we learned from one of the two hilulim, v'idach, and the other hilul, which is a chilul, teaches us this following teaching, that something that requires shira requires chilul, that only a fruit in the fourth year, only a fruit that requires, that has, is accompanied by Shira requires to be brought and eaten in Yerushalayim. Meaning that the law of Revai, of the fourth year being treated like Maaser Sheni, eaten in Yerushalayim, doesn't necessarily apply to all fruits in the fourth year. Perhaps it's only the types of fruits that in the Beis HaMikdash have accompanying singing of the Levim. Okay, what is that? So there's actually only one thing in that category. The only fruit that produces something that has singing accompanying it is wine. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, there are wine libations. And during the Levim would sing during the wine libations, meaning the pouring of the wine on the Mizbeach. When they would do that, the Levim would sing. So what we're saying over here now is that only that we use one of these hilulim to be chilulim, that you only require profaning something, meaning bringing something to Yerushalayim in the fourth year, only if it's something that requires singing in the Beis Hamikdash, which is wine. So I know it's like it's a few different steps, and this is probably not the headquarters of that discussion. We're quoting it, probably something somewhere else in Maseches Brachos, Maestros, or whatever it might be that discusses this. So we're just like seeing snippets of this big, much greater halachic discussion. But basically, what we use these two elulim for, the first of the hilul of the hilulim, which we're going to darshan as hilul, is that you need to do hilul in order to eat the fruits, not in Yerushalayim. And the second hilul is that it only applies to things that have singing done for it, which is wine, and everything else you do not need to do it. Okay, so therefore, you can't use these hilulim to teach me the bracha before and bracha after. We're already using them for drashos. Okay. Ve'idach davar haton shira ton chilul, v'she'eno ton shira ein ton chilul. I also wonder if this is learned partially from the lashon of hilul, that it's hilul, but it's also hilul. It's a halel. It's a praising, singing song. So it could be that's part of it. Okay, Ukid Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani, and it's in accordance with that which Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani said. Amar Reb Yonasan, in the name of Reb Yonasan. Damar Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Reb Yonasan. Minayin she'in omer shira el al hayayin. How do we know that you only sing shira on wine, right? So we took that for granted a moment ago, that we said in the Beis Hamikdash, the only thing that they sang shira for, produce of the fruit that it would accompany is wine. So where do we know? So we have a pasuk that source that Shneamar, because the pasuk says, "Vatomer lahem ha-gefen hichdalti es sirashi ha-mesameach elokim va-anashim." Right. So this pasuk is in Shoftim. It's a mashal being discussing something about ruling, but it uses plants in this mashal, and it refers to the gefen, the vine, the grapevine, as something that's misameach elokim v'anashim, that wine makes God and man happy. So im anashim misameach, as we discussed the other day, wine can make man happy. Elokim b'mem misameach. How does wine make God happy? Right, he has a couple of lechaims, and Hashem is happy. So why does wine make Hashem happy? It makes Hashem happy because, well, it makes humans happy because we like drinking wine, the alcohol content and all that, and the taste. But it makes Hashem happy because wine is accompanied by praising of Him, and therefore makes both of us happy. So hanicha leman. So now finally we've landed, and we said that these two hilulim are necessary for other halachos. We cannot use this as the source for brachos. Now we say hanich leman detani. So this is all good. I'll introduce this next point. There's a machlokas. There are a lot of mishnayos that talk about netta or kerem ravai, the kerem, the vineyard in the fourth year, and that has a special status. You bring it to Yerushalayim, like Meister Sheni. But there's actually a machlokas whether that's the correct girsa, or whether every time it says kerem ravai, it's supposed to be netta ravai, plantings of the fourth year. Meaning that there's a machlokas whether or not it's a unique status to fourth year grapes, or whether it actually applies to all fruit. Is it kerem ravai or netta ravai? So now we're going to, that machlokas is going to, it's this discussion is going to be relevant to that. So everything that actually it works out hanich leman detani netta ravai. So the one that says netta ravai, everything actually works out, because then hilulim. Leman detani, yeah. Right. So it actually works out for netta ravai. Eleman detani kerem ravai ma'ikal ameimar. So if you say that if you say netta ravai, then everything that we said really goes away. Because if you say that's netta ravai, that there's no unique status of grapes in this regard, then all the drashos of, you know, specifically teaching me by grapes and hilulim, we have our hilulim back. So we don't need to. So then we can actually source brachos according to that approach. Eleman Datani Karam Ravai, but if you say that, no, it's only Karam Ravai, grapes have a unique status, then we need those Hilulim for the Drushos, and we can't use Hilulim to teach us Brachos. So my Ikel Memar. And what is this talking about? De Itma Reb Chia of Reb Shimon Rebbe, because it was stated that Reb Chia and Reb Shimon Rebbe, they had this Chad Tani, one of them learned the Mishnayos Karam Ravai, V'chad Tani Neta Ravai. So there was a machlokus of Karam Neta Ravai. If you say Neta Ravai, then we can actually use Hilulim for Brachos. But if you say Karam Ravai, then we can't. Well, Aman Dazani Karam Ravai, and if the truth is that according to the one who says Karam Ravai, Hanicha, it actually kind of works out Im Yali Iyalif Gzera Shava. If you learn a Gzera Shava, there might be a Gzera Shava, and we might not actually need Hilulim. There might be a Gzera Shava that teaches us the unique status of grapes. Detanya, we learned in a Braisa. Rebbe Omer Nemar Khan Lahosif Lachem Tuaso. It says in one pasuk that to add to you for you its grain. Vinemar Lahalun, and it says elsewhere, Vitvuos Hakerem. So it mentions a kerem, and it's a Gzera Shava, Tvua Tvua, grain. And the second time it says kerem, there's a vineyard. So ma lahalan kerem. Just like over there, it's talking about kerem. Afkan kerem. So too, over here, it's talking about kerem. Okay? So I know it's like a, there are many different steps in this discussion over here. But now that we use this Gzera Shava, we actually eliminated part of the problem, but actually something's going to be left over. But Afkan, or so Jewish Karam, Malan Karam, Afkan Karam. So Iser Lechad Hilo Lebracha. So now what we did was we freed up one of the Hilulim for the Bracha. Because now that we have a Gzera Shava to teach us the unique status of Karam, so we have one of the Hilulim left over for the bracha. Because remember, one of the Hilulim originally, one of them teaches us that you bring it to if you want to eat it, you have to be poded or profane it, right? Be cholel it. But the second one teaches us the unique status of wine, right? That it goes with the Shira. So now we have one of the Hilulim left over. So Isulay Chad Hilul LeBracha V'Lo Yalav Gzer Shava Brach Minalei. Let's say you don't use the Gzer Shava. Let's say you use one of the Hilulim. Meaning there are different sources to teach us the uniqueness of wine in regards to the fourth year. So if you learn the Gzer Shava, so then you have one of the Hilulim free and you can learn a bracha. But if you don't have the Viloyav Gzer Shava, Bracha Minalei, where do you get the bracha from? Where do you get the source of brachas? V'inami Yalav Gzer Shava, and let's say, even according to the Prusha, you do have a Gzer Shava, Ashachan La'acharav, so now we only have a source for a bracha acharona, Lefanav Minayin. Where do we have a source for the bracha Rishona? Right, the assumption is, Rashi says, so meaning that if you had to pick one, let's say we only have one Hilul left, so we can learn one bracha, bracha Rishona, bracha Acharona, which one are we going to learn? Bracha Acharona, the precedent would be that we have a Chatav Sabbat V'Racha, we know Birchas Amoson already. So if you could only learn one, we learned that. So basically, I know it's a lot of steps, and when you do your Chazara, hopefully with all these Hakdamos, everything will kind of like fall into place. But a quick summary of where we're holding so far. So we said that we wanted to use Hilulim as the source for Brachos. We said that according to the approach of Kerem Ravai, as opposed to Neta Ravai, we use the Hilulim for two important drashos. So we can't use Hilulim for the brachos in the approach of Kerem Ravai. And then we took it back a little bit. Well, it could be you can get rid of one of the Hilulim if you're going to use a Gzera Shava, and then we can learn at least one bracha. But you're still stuck. You don't have a bracha. According to the Karam Ravai approach, you don't have a bracha Rishona. So now the Gemara responds, "Hello, Kasha, that's not a problem. Actually, we can really work it out. We can talk it over, and we can even learn the bracha Rishona. Da'asi of a kal v'chomer. You can bring a kal v'chomer from the bracha Acharona. Kishahu saveya mivarech, that when he is satiated, he makes a bracha. Kishahu raiv lo kol shekein, all the more so, he should make a bracha when he is when he's still hungry. Does anybody have the logic for that? By the way, does anyone want to explain the logic for that? Again, he says that. So what we're suggesting now is that even according to the Kerem Ravai approach, so we let's say we have two hilulim, and let's say one of the hilulim we can actually is free because we learn a gezer shava. So we have one hilul left over and one praising of God left over, and we say that's praising God for afterwards, for bracha achrona, and we learn a kavachomer. If you make a bracha achrona, a kavachomer, you make a bracha rishona. So what's the logic there?
It has to do with the way you feel. I mean, a starving person feels much worse than a full person.
Okay.
So, I mean, like the intensity of that feeling. Like, I feel really good after I eat, but I feel really bad if I don't eat.
Right. So,
once I have the feeling of feeling good, which feels good, I mean, being full feels good. I thank you, God. Thank Hashem. So, Kal v'chomer, I would thank him when I feel really bad and I'm starving and I finally get about to eat that food, I would want to praise Hashem for giving me that. Does that make sense?
It could be it did, but I'm not sure if I fully understood that. So you're saying that, I mean, it sounds like almost the opposite, right? Like, if I'm satiated, so then I have what to thank Hashem for, but if I'm not there yet, why should I be thanking Hashem?
But you have it in your hand. You're about to be satiated.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, so you're saying at the moment, meaning like after the meal, so you know, I can always say I'm fine now, but in a moment of such powerful intense emotion of I'm so hungry, to that's an opportunity, right? So after the meal, okay, so the feeling wore off. I'm not hungry anymore. So the emotion and the feeling isn't so powerful. But just when I'm about to eat, I have the food in my hand. So perhaps that's the moment that I should be praising Hashem. Okay, I think makes sense. So the asya. So halakasha dasa b'kal v'chomer kishuma saveya mivarei kishura if kol lakol shekin. So ashechan kerem shar mina. Okay. So let's say we do that. So ashechan kerem. So now, according to this approach, so good, perfect. We'll, like, meaning this whole discussion, great. So we'll take one of the hilulim and we'll throw in a kal v'chomer and the hilulim mentioned by the kerem. So we know you can make a bracha achrona in kal v'chomer bracha rishona by kerem, by things from the vineyard. But shar minin minayin. What about everything else that doesn't grow from a vineyard? Do I make a bracha on those things? So, diyalef mi kerem. Maybe we can learn that from kerem. Let kerem be the example, the paradigm, the binyan av. Ma kerem, davar shenen vetoon bracha. Right? Look, it's a mamatim. Just like a vineyard is something that you benefit from and it requires a bracha. Af kola davar shenen vetoon bracha. Everything you benefit from, you need a bracha. Let's just use that as an example. Why not? So, that would work, but there's one problem. Ikal mifrach, we're able to ask a question. If we can point out a unique quality of kerem, then we can't run everything else from it, because it could be that the reason kerem has a bracha is because of the unique quality to it. So what's that? Ma le kerem shekein chayev ba'olelos. Ma le kerem. How can you compare it to kerem? Shekein chayev ba'olelos. Kerem is chayev in olelos. So olelos is a unique gift to the poor called olelos, which is, it means like immature grape clusters. If they haven't fully ripened and they're not going to, so those go to the poor. Like leket shechapeya. So one of the gifts to the poor is olelos of grapes. So we see that there's a unique quality to grapes, that there's a mitzvah of olelos to the poor in grapes. So it could be that only things with olelos, goes to, requires a bracha.
You can ask on it. There's like a vineyard. There's another million things that is special.
We're looking for halachic ones, at least that's I think how we're starting. So, but are there other halachic ones? I'm sorry.
I feel like there's more than just that.
Could be. Could be that you sing Shira with it also, right? As we said earlier, yeah, it's true. I didn't see anything about that, but yeah. So, but at least this—that's one example. So, kama tochiach. Let kama over here means standing grain. Really, kama means standing, but over here it's referring to standing grain. So, let grain prove that it's different, right? Because we know by grain that you do make a bracha, right? At least the bracha corona, the chatav zvata verachta, is talking about grain. So, kama tochiach. Meaning, going into this discussion, so we know that grain you make a bracha, and we know grapes you make a bracha, because v'chatav sevat v'irachta, and if we learn a kavachomer, right? So I guess the Gemara is assuming you know the kavachomer now. And we know that by hilulim, or at least one hilul, we have a bracha for something that grows from the vine. So we said, okay, let's let the paradigm be the vine. So he said, no, because it has unique quality, olelos. Okay. So kama tochiach, learn it from kama, from grain. No. Mala kama, shekin chayves bachala. You can't learn it from grain because that has the unique quality of the mitzvah of chala. So then we say, kerem yochiach. Let the vineyard prove it. V'chazer hadin. And it'll go back and forth in this case, judgment. Lo reizeh kereizeh, v'lo reizeh kereizeh. The nature of this one is not like this one, and the nature of this one is not like this one. Hatzad hashava shabahen. But the common denominator of both of these is a davar shenene v'ton bracha. Af kol davar shenene ton bracha. Right, so what we basically did was we said, this is a classic tzad hashava. I guess the first tzad hashava in Shas, though, so that's why it could be. That's why the Gemara spells it out so clearly, right? It's a tzad hashava that we know that both things from the vine and grain require a bracha, and we have sources for them: v'yachalta v'savata v'rachta, and at least one of the hilulim. So we know that these both need a bracha. It's true; one has unique mitzvah of olelos, one has unique mitzvah of challah, but both of them. Both of them have these different unique qualities, but the common denominator is they both require bracha. So we see that everything, whether there's a leilos or not, whether there's challah or not, everything requires a bracha. Okay, right? Good? Nope. Ma letzad shava shavah. No. Hold on. But they also have another unique quality that they both share. Ma letzad shava shavah and shekein yesh bot sad mizbeach. They're both brought at the, they're both, I think, either brought at the side of the Mizbeach or have a tzad of the Mizbeach. I think they're brought at the side of the Mizbeach. Right? Meaning that both of these are unique from other foods. You don't have all foods that you do this for, but you do have, for these foods, that they accompany karbanos, wine and grain, right? Menachos and the nesachim, the wine libations, and the flour offerings, were both brought on the Mizbeach. So, it could be that the reason that when it comes to a tzad hashava, if the two things, if they share another unique quality, when we could say maybe the reason they have a bracha is because wine and bread are very elevated foods, as the Mishnah itself indicates with their unique brachos. They're very elevated foods. They require brachos. Everything else doesn't because they're not brought to Mizbeach. Then the Gemara says, "Va'osinami zayis de'is beit tzad Mizbeach." And though we would also include olives, because olives also, right, the oil is used in the Mizbeach, so we would say bread and wine, then we would include olives as well. Before the Gemara addresses the question of, so how do we source the bracha for the rest of foods, so the Gemara says, v'zayis mitzad Mizbeach, asi? You need to this tzad hashava to teach me that of the Mizbeach, that olives have a bracha? V'habahedju k'siv bei, no, it's explicit. Kerem, right? Explicitly, olives are said to be in a kerem, that an olive grove, we have a pasuk that we're about to quote, sources, that the olive grove is also referred to as a kerem. So if we know hilulim, right, we know, just as much as we know grapes have a brach, we know olives have a brach. We don't need the tzad hashava of the mizbeach to teach us that, right? Kerem, dichsiv.
We can learn both of them. We can learn both of them out.
Yeah, meaning.
The kerem can only mean one.
No, meaning kerem could be, kerem refers to vineyard, but it could also refer to an olive grove. I'll read this pasuk first. Right, oh, so it doesn't quote the full pasuk. But the pasuk says, Vilapidim. And then at the end, it says, it does quote it here. It skips a little bit. V'ad kama v'ad kerem zayis. Right? So it mentions the kerem zayis. So we call olives also, an olive grove is also called a kerem. So when we said hilulim, at least we know that a kerem, so it's not just grapes, it's also olives. So you don't need a tzad shove of the mizbeach dishmi olives. Olives I would include anyway. The Gemara responds, honor of Papa, no. Kerem zayis ikri kerem. Kerem zayis ikri, kerem stama lo ikri. When we see the word kerem by itself, so kerem zayis could mean an olive grove. But we see the word kerem by itself, that's only referring to grapes, a vineyard, not to an olive grove. Therefore, when we said hilulim is by a kerem, so that will be only referring to wine, grapes, would not be referring to olives, and therefore olives would only be known from the tzad shaveh. Okay. Anyway, mikol makom, nevertheless, kasha, back to our kasha, ma l'tzad shaveh shebehen, shekin yesh behen tzad mizbeach. So I only know grapes and grains. I don't know other foods. Ela diyalef lo mishivas aminim. So maybe let's try to learn from shivas aminim. Ma shivas aminim davar shenena v'talan bracha af kol davar shenena talan bracha. So we say that because v'yachalta v'savata v'erachta, maybe that's not said in the context of only grain. Really, it's said right after we mention the shivas aminim. So maybe all the shivas aminim require. A bracha, and therefore we can apply this din of shivas aminim to all foods. You benefit from them. You benefit from any food. You make a bracha. The Gemara responds, no. Mal shivas aminim shekein chayv in bikurim. No, you can't say that because the shivas aminim are chayv in bikurim. Maybe only bikurim foods that have the mitzvah bikurim, you make a bracha on. But foods that don't have mitzvah bikurim, you don't make a bracha on. The od, and even more. Let's say we would grant you that. Hatsniach l'achrav l'fan of minayim. But then again, another question. By the shivas aminim, it only says v'yachalta v'savata v'erachta. That's only a bracha achrono. How do we know bracha rishona? So halo kasha, says the Gemara, this is not a question. Da'asi b'kavach omer kishu saveh mevarech kishu roev lo kol shekein. So we addressed this earlier, right? So if you make a bracha achrono, you're going to make a bracha rishona as well. Okay. Uleman detani neta ravai. But according to the one who says netzer avai, according to that approach, right? So what we've seen, what we've concluded is that if you say kerem ravai, we really can't learn more than grain and grapes, maybe the shivas aminim, but we don't know all foods. But lamandatani netzer avai, so the one who says netzer avai, hotina kol davar netiya. So now we know, okay, any davar netiya, anything that grows from the ground. Dela barnatia kigon basar beitzim v'dugim, important food, things like meat, eggs, fish that aren't barnatia, don't come to the ground. Minale, meaning that according to the approach that says kerem ravai, maybe grapes and grains, maybe the shivas aminim. Even if you say netar ravai, I only have a source for things that grow from the ground, fruits, vegetables, but meat, fish, eggs. Don't make a bracha on that? You're going to tell me that I'm going to make a bracha on a salad and not on a steak? You kidding me? So Gemara responds, Ella Svarahu. Okay, you're right. The truth is, at the end of the day, we cannot source it as in a pasuk in the Torah. It is not an obligation midaraisa to make a bracha, Rishona. Svarahu, it's a svara. It makes sense. It's logical. Asr lola adam shehana min olam hazeh below bracha. It is forbidden to benefit from in olam hazeh without a bracha, and that's the source for the obligation of a bracha rishona. It's logical, and we're gonna explain in these next few lines. Just explain the logic. I mean, I'm sure it makes sense to you, but just examples to understand this a little bit better. Tana rabbanan, we learn in the brisa asr lola adam shehana min olam hazeh below bracha. Right, it's forbidden for a person to benefit from olam hazeh without a bracha. The kol anenam in olam hazeh below bracha, anybody who does so, ma'al. He has trespassed, meaning he has stolen from God. Me'ilah is what we refer to using hekdesh property, using something that is sanctified to the base of Mikdash, using hekdesh without permission, using hekdesh is considered me'ilah. So also, what's also hekdesh is everything is hekdesh. Everything belongs to God. And if you don't make a bracha, you're not asking permission, then you have violated Me'ila in a sense. My Takante, how do you fix up this wrong? How do you right the wrong? Yelech etzel chacham. You should go to a chacham. Go to a wise person. Yelech etzel chacham. My Avile, what does he do for you? Right? Wrong religion. Right? It's not in our religion that you do something wrong, so you just go to the wise person and then you're atoned. Right? That does, we don't believe in that. So my Avile. No, what does he do? No. Ho Avile. Right, he already did an isura. This is no, we don't have a confessional. He already did the isur. Ella Amarava, Rava explains, no, this is what it means. Go to Chacham before you make a mistake. And he'll teach you brachos so they don't come to Me'ila. Meaning he's saying, how do you avoid getting into a situation where you steal from God? So go to a Hilchos Brachos Shir, pick up a Hilchos Brachos Sefer, learn Brachos, and then you won't steal from God. But after you did it, you violated an Isser. What can I tell you? Okay, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, call an enemy Olam Hazeh below Bracha, Kilu Nena, Mikadshe Shemayim. Anybody who benefits from Olam Hazeh is like you benefited from the Kadshe Shemayim, the Hector stuff of Shemayim. Shneamar, the Pasuk says, Lashem Aratzum Loa. The world belongs to Hashem and everything that fills it. And then Rav Levi, Rami, Ksiv, Rav Levi brings up Astira and Psukim. Ksiv, both these are very famous Psukim. Ksiv, Hashem Aretz Mala, people write it in the beginning of their Sefer, right? Everything in Hashem and everything in the land and that fills the land belongs to Hashem. So on the one hand, it sounds like everything's Hashem. V'ksiv, and it says in Hallel, Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem Aretz, Nesan, Levnei Adam. The heavens, the Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, the heavens are God's, Va'aretz, and the land was given to the hands of man. Hold on. I thought everything in the world, in the land, belongs to Hashem, but now you tell me that the Shemayim belongs to Hashem, but the land belongs to man. Lo kasha, kan kodem bracha, kan lacher bracha. It's not a contradiction. Before the bracha, la Hashem aretz melo'a, everything belongs to Hashem. But when you make a bracha, Ha'aretz nasan levnei Adam, it's given into the hands of man, and then it belongs to you to eat and enjoy and benefit from Hashem's world. We'll call it here. Yeah, Yasher Koach.